Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah's here, but she just shoved food in her mouth right before we came on.
I did. I saw a Twizzler, and I was like, oh, I want to eat that.
Okay. So Leah's going to chew for a minute.
Hi, everybody.
So weird.
She's still eating it.
It's still like eating. You haven't met me. Like, honestly.
Leah is always snacking. Like, I call her at 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. Sister has a snack.
I was eating my carrots today. It was very, very crunchy.
They were, well, and you had snap peas.
I did have snap peas also.
Yeah. So always Leah has a snack. If you want to make Leah happy, just give her a snack.
It's true.
She likes snacks.
And I like healthy snacks and not so healthy snacks. I like a wide variety of snacks.
She's an equal opportunity snacker.
She is.
This is true.
I ate a whole can of mini cheese puffs because the cans, like the Pringle can.
Oh, like the Pringle can?
Yeah, but it was mini cheese puffs because they were on sale at Kroger last week. They had mini cheese puffs, mini Doritos, mini,
You should buy some of those and bring them to Louisville.
I was like, I didn't know these were a thing.
Yeah.
They're hard to
sun
find.
Sun chips. That's I had to look at the bag.
Ooh, so
they had mini sun chips.
But what flavor of the sun chips?
The cheddar.
Though? Ooh, I like the cheddar ones. The originals are meh.
Oh, I love the originals. I just ate a whole bag today or yesterday.
I like them if like in hummus, but I don't like them by themselves.
Okay, hummus is one of those foods I want to like, but I just can't make myself like.
Maybe you haven't had the right kinds.
No, there's no right.
It's a texture thing.
Oh, is it the texture? It is a funky texture. I will give you that.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so we are not here. We are not a food podcast. Like, that was a really, wow.
People do not just come to hear us talk about books. They come for the chaos that we give them.
Is that what this is? Mm-hmm. Well, this.
Something. I mean, prove me wrong, people. Prove me wrong.
Okay, well, stick with us for the next little bit. Oh, before I get into the next little bit, I want to say, over on Patreon at 10 o'clock tonight, we'll drop 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on June the 19th. Happy Juneteenth, everybody, too.
Happy Juneteenth.
But over on our Patreon at 10 o'clock tonight, we'll drop a Should You Read It about why we had to switch from The Gossip and the Grump by Pippa Grant to Bet Me by Jennifer Crusie. I did a full Should You Read It. It's a little longer than they typically are. I think it's almost like 12 minutes of me kind of breaking down what exactly was in that book and why we made the choice to change it. And we will try very hard to not do that. Like, once we set the TBR for the month, we're trying not to have to change it. But I felt like what was wrong with that book would have overshadowed, and it would have just felt like a repeat.
Well, but also the fact you couldn't finish it.
Well, yeah. And if I can't finish it, because we all know I'm forcing myself to finish all these. If I can't finish it, then we might be in some trouble.
Yeah. So Becky takes ones for the team and always reads it first.
She's the
Unless it's a book that somebody has read previously, Becky reads them first.
I'm trying.
It's the Megan Quinn debacle.
Okay. So stick with us for the next little while as we break down the enchanting details of Bet Me by Jennifer Crusie. Little known fact, she was a principal at Wapakoneta High School and was the superintendent at Wapakoneta City Schools in Ohio. She then went on to be a professor of creative writing at The Ohio State University, and I took a creative writing workshop from her in 1997. Anyway.
Welcome.
So stick with us for this little while. We're going to talk about Bet Me by Jennifer Crusie, things you should know before we start. The release date on this book was February 10th, 2004. This book is 20 years old.
That was a while ago.
Yeah.
It was.
So that was pre-kids for all of us.
I graduated high school that year.
Leah, could you shut your freaking mouth?
No.
The boy child will be 21 on Friday.
Oh, he's 21. Sorry. My math was wrong. I apologize for that.
Like, 2004, I was not a young lady. I had been married for 6 years, right? 5.5 years. So.
Well, yeah. I was almost pre-kids for all of us.
Cheese and rice. Yeah. In the group chat, let's just say we were not going to talk about what we were doing in 2004 because some of us are not the same.
In 2004 were rough. Yeah.
You still wear dual tank tops, so.
I do. I like my emotional support tank top. Thank you very much.
Right. Okay.
I have one on currently.
Jesus.
As you can see.
Cheese and rice. Okay, tropes. Deception trope. This was mostly deception trope.
But not, like, obnoxious deception. It worked. No.
It worked. Well, it was deception, but she knew it was deception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like deception of people. Like, they weren't pretending to be somebody else. There was, like, right. ulterior motives of deception.
Yeah. Instant attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And slow burn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So slow.
So slow. We do have a girl gang in this book. And did I miss any other?
Not really. There wasn't a lot of tropes.
This
but
book
it is, well, it's kind of found family too. Because,
a little
like,
bit.
Yeah.
Because the guys, like, they kind of created, I hate to call them a gang also, but they created this, like, element of friends.
Yeah, it's a friend group.
That they were very close, like a very close friend group that have been friends for years.
And I will say, our hero, Cal, is a little bit of a golden retriever.
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Standalone, this is just a standalone. There are not books for the other friends. I remember when I read this book for the first time, I went looking for the friends.
But did you read the final chapter?
It was a chapter. It was a chapter. So
it says right in the chapter.
It was a chapter.
Like, what's going on there?
I know, but
she needed more.
I needed more. This point of is there a third act breakup? Yes, there is. And it's emotional. All of us were a little gutted, I would say. Point of view. This is third person head hopping, head jumping. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't listened to last week's episode or Sunday's episode, I do define what we mean when we say head hopping. Mm-hmm. So this is third person, multi-person head hopping. Put out percentage was 83%. Thus.
Was it 83? I thought it was 93.
Mine was 92.
Was it 93, 92?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I have fat fingers sometimes.
Yeah, it was like 92.
It was almost over. Yeah.
It was basically the last chapter.
Yep. The audiobook is narrated by Deanna Hurst. And this is available everywhere, but it is also currently a read, listen, in Kindle Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
This book is through a trad pub, and then they've now put it into Kindle Unlimited. Content warnings on this book. Content warnings. Fat phobia, body shaming, and parents you want to push off a cliff. On both sides.
The parents were horrible.
On both sides.
Although her dad wasn't as bad, but he was still pretty bad.
He was just clueless.
Yeah.
This is true.
So
I didn't want to push him off a clip. I just wanted to give him a little, like, tap.
A nudge down the hill.
A little nudge. A roll down the hill, yes.
So let's talk about the age of this book first. This book, as we said in the beginning, is 20 years old. There is language in this book that dates it.
Yeah. But honestly, it was only, two or three words, and it was just, like, in a sentence, like, to describe something. And so it was one of those things where at the time it was not, like, a negative connotation to those words, but, like, Becky and I were talking, like, the English language is constantly evolving and changing, and, like, things that you said even 5 years ago, like, sometimes are not copacetic now. And so it's one of those things where, like, aside from, like, two or three words, I feel like the book held up really well. There wasn't a lot of tech talk. There wasn't a lot of like pop culture references. I mean, they talked about Elvis Presley and Elvis Costello, who like 20 years ago were still like classic like music. So,
Well, and even
Yeah.
go ahead, Jenny.
Yeah, like I would say the only like tech wise is like they made a lot of phone calls that would probably not be actual phone calls now. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but as aside from that, I think it didn't have a lot.
I think it has aged very well outside of the words, but this brings up another question. And I think we see this mostly in contemporary rom-coms, right? Like if we go back and watch older rom-com movies or we watch, things have changed. Consent is different. It's more defined now than it was then, and even previous, and tech and all that stuff. Do you think there is value in authors who have these books that are still pretty relevant? Do you think that this is a you should go back and re-edit it and bring it up to date, or just leave it as it is?
I think this one would be fine to leave as is. I think that there are some books that you do need to go back and edit, be like, but this one I think it is okay enough that like it's not a huge deal, especially with what is used also. Like if it was something different, then I would say yes, definitely. But like they're bad, but they're not horrible, which is kind of like I hate to say it that way, but it's like it could have been much worse.
One of the things that's interesting is, so this episode should have been our book club book. We have already done an episode on Amy Award's Cock Down the Block. You can go and listen to that quick shot. It's still in our podcast feed. But we had Amy at book club on Friday night last week, and we were talking a little bit, and she talked about the importance of writing plus size characters for her. And in Bet Me, we have a plus size character. And Min is plus size. But she said something at book club, and as I was prepping my notes tonight, it really resonated with me. So, diet culture in the late 90s, early 2000s, when we had heroin chic as the style, was very different than even it was 10 years ago. And many of us are feeling like we are sliding back into diet culture with the availability of Ozempic and the other newer diet drugs, right? Like there's this race now to be skinny.
Well,
And
it's not even necessarily the drugs, but like the if you're keto or this, it's like the diets themselves.
yeah, it was really interesting to read this and think, we had come so far and now we're backsliding. But that was really interesting to listen to Amy, because it was good to revisit these. Now, I had a diet culture mom. And so I could relate, especially like with the sister revolving around the sister's wedding and the wedding dress, and don't wear that. It doesn't, it's not for you. Or so, I mean, I could relate. Like that was relatable. And I don't think your own internal fat phobia or even external fat phobia ages. I think it's one of those things that is just there.
Well, but I mean, and that goes really for any body type. Like I'm just saying, it's not just like a fat person's thing. Like it's the skinny person, it's the middle of the road person. So it's like those fat phobias, like yes, you have them, but it's kind of there's a, it's across the board as well.
Well, I also think, like, and Leah and I've talked about this a little bit too, like, we don't get a lot of flat-chested, small boob rep in
Right? That's
Walmart.
a good point.
Or in Walmart. Did I say Walmart?
You did say
You
Walmart.
did,
I
but
was
we were just
close.
going to ignore it and just let you keep
Oh my
talking.
God. I have no air conditioning. It is 98 degrees, you guys. Please forgive me. In books and contemporary romances,
Mean,
everybody
maybe not in
has, maybe not in Walmart.
Walmart either, but.
Everybody has boobs, and that's not realistic. There are all body types. Some people are rounded bottoms. Some people are flat chested. Like, I want all of them.
Yeah, I do think we're seeing a little more diversity in that. But yeah, it's still the like.
Right, everybody has curves, the hourglass. Like, I hold into her waist. I don't have a fucking waist. I have an ass that goes to my back.
See, I don't have an ass or boobs. So
I'll share some of mine with you, Leah.
I have some, I have hips and thighs.
It doesn't work that way. I've tried.
And some jiggly tummy, but I don't have a lot of anything else.
Okay. So we think for a 20-year-old book, this absolutely holds up. It has, and it is true rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
It is snickering, laughing fun.
Now, I will say, like, I went back and forth between eyeballing and the audiobook. It's not my favorite audiobook. Like, I like the narrator's voice, and I think she did an okay
job.
It
wasn't good.
But
it was up to two. And I was still, like, fine.
But, like, the banter, you miss so, like, so when I was eyeballing it, like, I read it in, like, this certain, like, cadence. Like, it just, it made me, like, it always put me in mind that they were talking a lot faster, and even speeding it up, like the banter was not quick enough for me. Yep. Like if they're just, it was very flat. Like the Deanna Hurst voice didn't bug me. Like I liked her tone, but the cadence and like the delivery was just all one dimensional for me.
I think she does a lot of women's fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she's not a rom-com. I think had you had Kelly Dalton or Savannah Peachwood or someone like that, this would have been hilarious.
Yeah, I agree.
I noticed she like there would be like there was a lot of like who said what, like they didn't just do the dialogue back and forth.
Yeah.
But if because like a couple of times I was eyeballing it and reading, like listening at the same time, if it was like in italics as a thought, she would enter like he thought or she thought, which I found helpful, like listening wise, like, oh, they didn't say that out loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the problems with third person head hopping. And it's probably why we don't see it as prevalent in romance anymore. Because there's a lot of nuance you get with first person dual point of view, right? You get those internal thoughts, you get those deeper moments. And there are a couple of times in this book, because this was a reread. I think I've read this book now 3 or 4 times, but it's the most recent read in the last like 5 to 6 years. There were a couple times that I would have really liked a little bit more inside Cal's head. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So our hero is Calvin Morrissey. Or Cal. One of the coolest things about this this book is it is set in Columbus, Ohio. And I know the neighborhoods that they're talking about. It's the Short North. It's the Victorian Village. It's right there in downtown Columbus. And then the family is in Bexley. They all live in the high end part of Bexley. And it was so fun because I'm like, yeah, I know exactly what they're talking about. The parks. So that was fun for me for, you know, Ohio is not romantic.
No. I mean, clearly it is.
But we don't often get a lot of romances set Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So this was fun.
Well, but it's one of those things where like it was a real place, but she got it right. I mean, granted, she is from the area as well. So that does help. But like there's so many like books where it's like set in a real place and it's still wrong. It's like you can use Google Maps to figure this out.
Right? 2004, I mean, there wasn't really
2004, you could not do that.
There was no Google Maps in 2004.
I apologize, but you could MapQuest it. MapQuest got you lost. But MapQuest got you lost every time.
Every time. So Cal, I said early on, I think he's a little bit of a golden retriever, but he is a charmer. And I think he's more than even a cinnamon roll hero. Like there is something so, he's not a beta. There is something next level about the way his character is. Like, I think he is elevated, maybe he's like an overrisen cinnamon roll because he is a good guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, there was just more to him.
Right. Well, he has some family issues that are playing to that.
Well, but I think part of Cal's problem is he's kind of oblivious to, like, how, like, he wants love. And he's, like, searching for this ideal person. But he's looking at the wrong type of people for it. And so it's like
The ex.
she was a
She was a crazy psycho.
I do appreciate when we got her and David because I was like, wow, these people are insane.
Right? When
There
she's
are
like,
so
I
many
studied him. And I'm like,
little side stories in this book that it just really I really enjoyed the way that it like played out. But I think that's the thing. Like Cal like has this idea of who he wants to be with and like the type of person he wants to be with, and he thinks he needs to strive for that. But Min is not that type of person at all. And so like it totally throws his like thought process and ideal process like out of whack. Like she comes out of left field and he doesn't know what to do with it.
but he also doesn't take no for an answer. Like when he shows up on her doorstep and is like, I have food. And he's like, what is this garbage you were cooking? Like it wasn't like the sweet, kind, oh, he's just a cinnamon roll kind of guy way that they would behave. He
Yeah,
was
he's
like,
not.
what the fuck is wrong with you? What did you try to cook here?
Well, and it's like you need butter, you need oil, you need this, like you need flour, like you need these things. She's like, but I
Which
can't.
I feel that to my soul. I never had butter, real butter, until I was married.
Oh my
Like,
God, same. We used Imperial or Bluebonnet or
right?
the country crock in the
Like,
big
yep, the
tub
giant
of
tub,
butter.
yeah.
Or it was not even butter, it's
We were a margarine
margarine. Yeah.
house.
Yeah.
We were a
And
margarine
then I
house
married
for a
Mike
long time.
Burrier and his grandmother, having grown up on cattle and dairy farms over in Australia, that family only ever used butter. And Mike's like, yeah, I don't know, your toast is soggy. This isn't right. Let's get some butter. And yeah, 25 years later, we're a butter house, and I think my children would like die if somebody tried to give them margarine.
Oh,
Right? I'm always like, you
my
don't
girl
want
child is
that.
a big fan of the butter. Like she eats some bread with her butter.
Yeah. One of my favorite snacks, saltine crackers and butter.
It's really gross, but you do you.
It's a bit gross.
It is gross, but it's so good. So shut up, Leah.
I'll have to tell the girl
Like,
child about that. She'll be all over it.
please get some townhouse.
No, saltines, premium saltines.
Oh, premium
I
saltines
don't
at
buy the
that.
store-bought saltines because the only ones that are good saltines for store-bought are Kroger's. All these saltines are like cardboard with
Cardboard.
some salt flecks on it. And Jenny's like, we are off on food again. I'm
Okay,
like,
so
we have circled back
we have, but let's
around.
talk about Min.
Let's talk about Min. I'm obsessed with her shoe collection.
I love the
Right?
fact that she has that shoe collection and that Harry, the nephew, is like so enamored by her shoe collection.
Well, and then Cal buys her the fuzzy slippers.
He buys her
The
bunny
pink
slippers
toe.
and she like is like, this is the best thing ever.
I was
But then he
obsessed.
breaks her heart.
Yeah.
But the one thing I love about this book, though, is the friend groups on both sides. So, like on Min's side, we have Liza and Bonnie, who are two completely different like points of
Right.
view. Bonnie is this sunshiny, fairy tale, delightful human being, and Liza is this like cynical,
Yeah,
like man eater.
who did you connect with the most in the friend group?
Who do you think?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it wasn't the sunny disposition
It is not the sunny fairy tale disposition. I am Eliza and
one.
one fear people.
I think
I
one of the
just am not a
things,
man eater. I'm not the man eater she is, but
I think one of the great things about Min is she was so analytical, right? Like her character had so much depth. She was so analytical. She picked apart and peeled away at everything. But even once that happened, she had this amazing friend group was like, too far.
Yeah.
Too far. Dial
But
it
at the same
back.
time, like she, like, I mean, aside from the dieting like side of things and like that whole like mental hang up that she had with that, like she was a very real person. Like she was very blunt, very like open, very like, I know who I am and I am capable of doing things. And also she's like, I know that I'm fat. Like I want to eat this carb. So like when he's feeding her the donuts, like I like that. Because
The
he's like,
hot
you need to
dog,
eat.
the sausage in the park.
Yes. He's like, eat this. Like, he wants her to eat.
I felt a little sorry for the nephew Harry in that first scene in the park. He kind of got sat on the bench and forgotten there for a minute. And then he calls Bink, which is Harry's mother, which, you know, again, I wanted her to kick Reynolds.
But she kind of does, like, after that, like, outburst in the park when Min, like, hands him his ass and is like, you embarrassed and humiliated your child. There was no reason for this. And it's like, you don't do that kind of thing, which I loved that part.
Right.
As somebody like, stood up for Harry in that moment. I know. Like, I want to let loose on people sometimes and be like, dude, these are like kids. There's no reason to scream at them and like yell at them and think that they are pro players. Like, these are not professionals.
And even though Cal had his best friends, which again, they were kind of opposites, and then you had the restaurant owner who was in that friend group, and they started making musical references, and I was just like, oh, love this.
Yeah, she's like, you're a Sondheim fan? Oh my gosh.
Right. And they were, but the friends there were different too, right? Like, the ex
Roger, like Roger very much like believed in the fairy tale as well,
which is why he's with Bonnie.
Like, it was love at first sight. It was the boom. Like, we'll just we'll borrow Aurora's word, it's the boom for them. And then like we have the cynical, like, I'm just gonna bang what I can while it lasts type of guy.
Well, and his friends were really great because they just kind of allowed Cal to be Cal, but were also his safe place to fall, right? Like, the crazy ex has signed Bink, or has signed Harry, the nephew, up for baseball. Well, with him and the awful Cal's awful mother. And so Harry's doing baseball, and the two best friends are like, it's okay, we'll coach with you. Because we all know Reynolds can't be. Anyway.
He's a butthole. I do. Stacey, I agree. I love the buying a couch explanation for how they were as people, too. Like, they searched and searched, and then it was like they fell in love with the couch.
Okay, so let's talk about the families, because I think that was another interesting piece in this book. Now, the backdrop of the story is Min has just broken up with David. She does not want to go to her sister's wedding without a date. She overhears Cal making a bet with David that for $10,000, he can get a date with her and sleep with her by the end of a month.
Yeah.
And Cal doesn't hear the bet like that. He only takes the $10 I can get her to go out to dinner with me bet. He didn't think the date
bet was
serious.
But he wasn't even taking the bet like as an actual bet. He was like, this is just ridiculous type of thing. And he basically was agreeing just to get David to leave him alone.
So Min's sister is getting married, and Min's sister, her fiance, he forgets the cake.
But I don't think he forgets.
No, he was sleeping with the best friend.
He's a douche canoe.
Wet and worse. Which,
oh my God.
Who doesn't love those nicknames?
I love those nicknames. But I think that the sister, like, out of like the side characters, had the most growth. Like, she was like someone at the beginning of the book, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like her, because she's just kind of under the mom's thumb, who seriously, when they told the mom she needs to eat at the end of the book, I just loved that. But by the end of the book, I really enjoyed her character, because she like really, like, you see that she really does care about Min and she loves Min, and like she just has like been stunted basically by all these jerks around her.
Well,
by Wet and Worse and the mother.
Well, and Min's mother, I wanted to push down the four floors of walk up the floor flights.
She's my grandma.
You could probably just snap her. She was like, she didn't eat.
When Cal's parents are there and she's like trying to make inroads, and when she finds out Cal is Cal Morrissey, she's like, oh, his mother's really big in the junior league. And we all know those people. We all know, oh goodness, they belong to the country club. You should get in with them. Like,
yeah, thank you.
We've all been there. I'm going to drink margaritas out of deli containers on my porch. Yep. I don't got time 100%. For the other people. Okay, what were your thoughts on the snow globe and that Cal is the one that realized she wasn't collecting Disney ones, but that she was collecting couples. And
unintentionally collecting couples at that.
He finds the one.
The missing snow globe. I love that, to be honest.
It was just one of those sweet little moments in the book. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't really add anything to the story, but it just showed a, like, a lot of little character.
Well, but it's those right. little swoony moments. Like, it's like he just finds something that's really important to her, and like it's all these little things that kind of seal the deal for her that, like, this really could be my person.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it shows that he's taking interest in everything.
Yeah.
Well, and that he's an observer, right? That yeah. he sees people for who they are and what's around them, and he's not buying into bullshit.
Right.
Okay. The cat. Which apparently the cat, his name is Elvis, right?
Well, because she said that she like needed to find her Elvis, and it was like all these little things that this cat did, and it's like she found her Elvis just in a inconvenient way.
And he shows up, and he's a hot mess of a cat.
I think yeah. it was really funny when they're like, "I didn't know which eye was closed." he's like winking. Yeah, but he was very healthy according to the vet.
He was.
But I did like the cat. But when David shows up at her apartment and the cat, like, yeah. so David Beautiful buys her. Snow. He buys her a snow globe that doesn't match anything, and like they all hate it. And so Elvis nudges it off the table to break it, and then he also scratches him. And Elvis, like, as you've met the cat, like, he's kind of a
he likes
curmudgeon,
Cal, but he's team
but he
Cal.
Loves Cal.
Team Cal. Team Cal. It's the cat distribution center. It just found her, or cat distribution system.
Yes. Stacey says accidentally adopting a cat was so funny.
It was so good. And I loved his obsession with Elvis, that he could right. turn. Now, that was a dated technology. He was turning the stereo on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I could picture, like the
little button.
With the paws and stuff. Yeah. I mean, your dog's opening your garbage can. This one is a
freaking Ollie.
Doing stereo. I will say that, like, that was one of the only things, like,
I think so,
but, like, that was a big yeah, like nobody has a stereo in their house really anymore.
Jenny, did you catch she worked for an insurance company? It's Nationwide.
Oh, that makes sense,
right? Like, I was laughing at that. I'm like, of course she works for Nationwide, but they don't pretty much they called it Columbus. Something else that was like yeah. Which I thought was hilarious. Did anyone, okay, is there anything else in this book anybody wants to talk about? The dinner scene with his family.
Mm-hmm.
He just sits there. Like, he is just, it was total trauma response for him from the moment they walked into that house till they left.
And that's the thing. Like, and even there's something, like, in the baseball game when his brother is freaking out on Harry, like, he basically has trauma response to that one too. And she has to, like, snap him out of it.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that he does eventually stand up to his mom, though.
Same. Well, and like, it wasn't just his mom. Taken. His dad was just as terrible with the whole, you know, oh, you're in the family business. Don't you think it's important to follow in the family?
Well, and she, like, lets it go. She lets it fly at that dinner party. Well, she can see Bro Fox.
She's like, I'm never going to see these people again.
She's like, I'm never coming back to this show.
No. And then she goes in the kitchen and has ice cream with Harry. And he, you know, he's in love with her. He is so.
He's a nervous puker. He's a sugar
what
puker.
What ice cream were they having?
Jenny's.
I don't know.
I didn't know if it was Jenny's or was it Grater's.
It didn't have a brand.
It could have been Grater's.
It could have been.
Grater's is the Columbus ice cream. Well, Jenny's is also Columbus. But I think Jenny's is newer than 2004. I think Jenny's didn't start till 2010.
And she has more anxiety.
Yeah. I would go with Grater's, Grater, apostrophe.
I've had Grater's ice cream. They do have that over by me now.
Do they? Well, the original And the diner that she talks about, that's that 50s themed diner that they go to that has all the jukeboxes and stuff like that. That diner actually exists in Worthington.
Oh, really? That's fun.
Right off 23 in Worthington, it exists. So,
yeah, I know where it is.
What?
Because when you said 23, I was like, yeah, I drove by it for years.
It's right there. Yep. So it was fun to see some of those landmarks for me because I had been in Columbus in the late 90s and then, you know, having gone down there to visit friends and stuff like that, it was fun to experience some of those places. But I was hungry for chicken marsala at the end of this book.
Oh my God, I know. I really, really want it. Like, I still want it. I might have to go get some.
Yeah. Like, I don't think we have any good Italian places that cook that here in Finland.
I was a little disappointed that they were like Krispy Kreme and like, I'm like, donuts have evolved. Like,
they have.
Yeah. But I don't think there are any local, like, major yummy donut places in Columbus. I mean, because oftentimes people...
I will say, though, a warm Krispy Kreme is really good.
Yes, like straight up. Yeah, I agree.
And the chocolate frosting on a warm Krispy Kreme, it is next level.
She got that part right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did really like the final chapter. We got a little, and Stacey says it too, it's almost like a montage, like a movie montage of everybody's heads at the end, but it's like what happened with everybody. Like, I love the fact that everybody that we met throughout the book, even not the like main characters, like we got their like ending. Like,
right.
Reynolds is still a butthead, but he's evolved into not as big of a butthead. Like, Harry became like his fish man and like met a girl and got married. And like, I loved all of that little snippet ending that we
got. One of the other things we haven't talked about yet, and this, we'll do this and then we'll go to our next thing, is this is a child-free HEA.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They are both very clear in this book that they do not desire to have children, that, you know, that is not what they foresee for their future.
And it's not that they don't like kids. They just don't want them. They love on their friends' kids, but they personally do not have them.
And I like in that final chapter, those little snippets that they still are child-free by choice. And
they have a dog now, but that's it.
Yeah. You know, she wanted her 2-bedroom craft bungalow, craftsman's bungalow.
So many books, like, they're, I'm going to be child free, and then they actually have kids at the end of the epilogues, and it's like, But yeah, I did enjoy the fact that even 20 years ago, like, Jennifer Cruzy made that conscious decision to leave them child free.
Yeah, I thought that was really well done. And again, it's something I want to see more in romance. You know, I like that the child free by choice, because everybody's relationship, everybody's HA is going to look differently.
Yeah, exactly.
Along those same lines, I like how she had that moment of like what comes after the HEA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like sitting on the couch and like, I'm like,
freaking out.
Yeah. I was like, it gets hard.
It does.
It gets better and then it gets hard.
And then it gets better again. Like, your kids become young adults and you can pretend that you're 22 again.
Well, but it's one of those things, like, relationships are constantly evolving and like they take work. Like, they're just not simple.
Yeah.
I like that too.
But I really did appreciate that it is stated that she doesn't want to have kids. Nobody talks her into it. She doesn't feel this overwhelming desire, you know, to give in and do it. I really respected that. And again, for it to be 20 years old and that to still be there was fantastic.
Except for David. He's like, you're going to be a mother to my kids. And she's like, dude.
Well, and like her mom, made comments like, you'll make beautiful babies. And she's like, nope, no, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, David was an asshole. Let's just be real.
David was an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's it to talk about the book, although we've been all over the place tonight. Let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down on Bet Me by Jennifer Cruzy. Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up.
I'm going to say thumbs up. It was a 5-star read the first time I read it. 20 years later, it's probably down to a 3.5, a 4. But it's still a really great, solid read. And I think that if you want to see how far romance has come in 20 years, you 1,000% should give it a try.
Yeah, I think it took a little bit, like a couple chapters, for me to get into it.
Yeah.
The audio helped, and it kind of just like played out as like a late 90s, early 2000 rom-com
Sitcom.
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, for sure.
It was like I could see this in like sitcom form, to be honest.
Okay, so if you liked this book, what book should people check out also? I have Spoiler Alert by Olivia Dade, great plus size rep.
Really, any book by Olivia Dade has really great plus size rep.
Yeah. Amy Award, The Cocky Kingsman, Coxy King, King Men.
We all know what you're talking about.
Anyway, I think those are very comparable. Lick by Kylie Scott. If you want someone that has really cute outfits, footwear, kind of dresses in that rockabilly style, Asher by Samantha Whiskey. That heroine
Oh,
is really
yeah.
good. Walk of Shame by Avery Flynn. If the Shoe Fits by Julie Murphy. It would be in the same lines. It's a Cinderella retelling. She's obsessed with shoes, but she ends up on a reality TV show. And but she doesn't have shitty family. She has a really nice stepmother and stepsisters who are supportive. Kiss by Kiss by Kaylee Ryan, are all good recs if you are looking for something. Leah, do you have anything?
Yeah, I have Every Time I Fall by Lexi Ryan. Excellent full-bodied heroine rep, and like the fact that like the heroine is comfortable but still not comfortable with herself at the same time. And like Alice in Uncovered by Ivy Lane, she's full-bodied but she also has like wears pinafores and like all that stuff, so like her character, like, but she's
Petticoats, not
fully
pinafores. Those are sandwiches or
petticoats.
cakes. Pinafores are
Those are
cakes.
cakes.
I mean, I would wear
Well,
cake. I'm
you
not
knew what I
saying.
meant. You knew what I meant. I'm apparently thinking cake right now. It's a
That's
food
fair.
centric episode
I mean,
tonight.
that was a disaster too, the cake. Like,
Oh, the
this
wedding cake.
is true. But yeah, but Alice, like, she's very comfortable with who she is. But like the fact that like she is comfortable with who she is, I really enjoy.
Jenny, do you have any?
I was gonna say like Olivia Day and Amy Award. Yeah. And because I was like trying to think of books that were like 2004, and then I was like, oh, I was still reading Sweet Valley High.
Well,
Two thousand four.
and as I was reading Bet Me, I could see that, not that Amy Award is trying to be Jennifer Crusie, but she is Jennifer Crusie's equivalent. Like their writing styles, the funniness, the quirkiness, the full-bodied rep, the complex heroine. So if you like Amy Award's books, I think that you would enjoy this. You know, she and
I
Amy
agree.
likes a slower burn right now.
Yeah, she does.
Seriously, sister. Okay.
Honestly, I was reading this and I was like, is it gonna pop ever?
I actually had a freak out moment that it wasn't going to pop, but I thought there was popping in it.
Like when I
But
got
then
to
I was
the
like, oh shit, they're gonna kill me.
87% and I was like, they have not had sex, like, and they had not gotten back together yet. I was like, oh my God, did Becky make me read a book that they don't have sex in again?
I know, right? That would have been like the second time. Okay.
But I wasn't mad because the banter is wonderful.
I want to give a small shout out to Lindsay. Happy birthday to Lindsay. Tomorrow is Lindsay's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy
So
birthday,
June
Lindsay.
20th is Lindsay's birthday, and I just wanted to send her a little extra love from us. Okay, make sure you join us back here Sunday night for our next episode.
What is our next episode?
I don't know. Summer
I
reading
don't know.
prompts. I think we're going to help you with your summer reading prompts. I think
Yes,
that's
we
what it
are.
is.
We are.
I think that's what it is. And then we are back next Wednesday night to discuss Garrett's Destiny by Anna Blakely. And I believe the only three of us are going to be here again next week because Lindsay, Heather, and Amanda are all traveling
Oh, yes.
next
Because
Wednesday.
Louisville is happening
Yes, we are
soon.
all headed off to Louisville.
And yet they have way longer to drive than we do.
Right.
Or
Yeah.
fly,
Or
in
fly.
Lindsay's case.
Anyway, thank you guys for joining me and reading Bet Me.
Of course.
Was fun.
And then, like I said, I will have a Should You Read It dropping at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on June 19th over on our Patreon. It is a Patreon exclusive, as to my review on The Gossip and the Grump by Pippa Grant and why it didn't get reviewed on here. Anyway, until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.